Welcome to the Accidental Experts Podcast. I'm your host, Bryce Hamilton, and I am a licensed clinical social worker, also known as a child and family therapist. I have been practicing for 15 years, and I'm also a mom of four. I pride myself on being an intentional expert. I have a passion for learning, helping, and changing lives. I am so excited that you are here today. I know that this podcast will find people in lots of roles supporting children, teens, and family life. Please come as you are. My goal is to make you an accidental expert. I will be traveling with you on this journey, sharing loads of ideas, practical solutions to help you raise healthy humans. Hi guys, welcome back. This is the Accidental Experts Podcast and I'm your host, Bryce Hamilton. I am so glad that you're here today. We are going to start a two-part series talking about anxiety. Last week, we started an introduction to feelings and why they matter. And this week, we're going to start talking about this idea of anxiety. Who has it? Why does it happen? And what can we do about it as people who care about kids? So as we start this conversation, I wanted to take a moment to notate that anxiety can be really hard to spot. Sometimes we think that our kids are being lazy or resistant or difficult on purpose. And really the root cause of that is anxiety. And I think by us knowing what we're looking for, it helps us to spot it quicker. And then we can actually solve the problem. I don't know about you, but I really love to solve an actual problem, right? Like it's the crying and the upset that can be really hard. But when we can name it as anxiety, then we can feel like we have some power and control over solving this problem for ourselves and our kids. I think it's also important for us to recognize that everybody is going to have anxiety at some point. So regardless of whether your kid has anxiety or you have anxiety right now, at some point we are going to have anxiety. Everybody around us is going to have anxiety. And if we can identify that it is anxiety, then we feel like we know what to do about it much quicker. So without further ado, I'm going to introduce to you Katie Cedeno. She is an LPC, a licensed practicing counselor, and a child and family therapist. Katie, you're a mom of two, right?
Yes.
Yes. We're so glad that you're here today to talk about anxiety. Anxiety is something that all of our kids are going to experience at some point, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it's gotten a bad rap.
It has, right? Yeah. But we all have anxiety because it's how our brain's wired, right?
Absolutely. Yep. It helps keep us safe. It is a productive thing for our bodies to experience.
Yeah. It's the thing that keeps us from getting in the cars with the strangers and taking the candy, right? Or helping the person locate their lost dog or, you know, doing something that we're like cheating on a test, right? Like the anxiety keeps us safe and following what is good about our morals and values, but it also can interfere with our everyday lives, right?
It can. And I think part of a product of that is because we've shifted away from dealing in it with it and making it all bad, that we don't necessarily know how to handle it the same way, or a way that is productive and helpful for us.
Yeah. Okay. So let's start by defining, like, what is anxiety? What is this thing that happens in our body?
So anxiety is a response to fear. And in this, we feel it in our brains and we feel it in our bodies. So we have this mechanism, like we said, that is built in order to keep us safe. And that's part of it. So it can be nervousness, worry, fear, but we don't just feel it in our heads. It's not something we just recognize in our brains or think about. We also feel that response in our bodies as well. And that looks different for different people sometimes too.
Yeah. So tell me a little bit about that part. Like, what does it feel like for people to have anxiety in their body? What might parents be recognizing or kids reporting to their parents about feelings?
So in kids, anxiety can look different, right? So in adults, we think of a lot of worry. It's something that cognitively we can process and identify better, not always wonderfully, but yes, we do better than kids do based on our own experiences. But in kids, it can look like a lot of different things. So for some kids, it might be not wanting to be alone. In other kids, it might be temper tantrums because they need to control a lot of situations. It might be avoidance of things like school. So it can look like a variety of different things. It can also look like worries where we think or talk about the same thing over and over again. that kind of stuff too.
Yeah. And sometimes in my practice, I see that kids will come in and they have like stomach aches, but the doctor can't figure out what is causing that. Or they have these headaches, but there's no medical cause for them. And so they're having all these somatic complaints that are like somatic meaning body, right? Like they're just having these feelings in their body, or like their leg always hurts and there's no rhyme or reason for it. And they've ruled out everything medical. And so then we kind of look at anxiety, right? Like to figure out, could that be a cause of this pain or discomfort or overwhelming feeling that they're having in their body?
Absolutely. And when we think about like the mechanism, what happens in our body when we feel anxiety, we can kind of understand why we might feel those somatic complaints, because so much is happening within our bodies and it's kind of exhausting. It's a workout for all different parts of our body. We have all of these stress hormones released, triggering that potential fight or flight reaction. Other chemicals, adrenaline, all of these things are increasing our heart rate, our digestion slows, our respiration increases. All of these different things are happening with anxiety. And if that's happening over and over again for people, then absolutely, that's going to bother our tummies. That's going to cause headaches or other different body parts to feel differently.
And then we want to avoid, right? Like that's the thing that we do. We want to avoid that feeling. So whatever it is or what we perceive it could be, right? Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's not even the thing, because a lot of times when we do the thing that scares us, it's actually not so bad, right? But it's the thought about the thing that can make us upset. Yeah,
exactly. And that's part of the, I think, complication with anxiety right now, is that we tend to go the avoidance route because we perceive all anxiety as negative rather than, hey, this is giving us a clue. This is helping us, you know that we need to pay attention here. It's a kind of more of a caution sign. Mm-hmm. Whereas we automatically take it as like danger.
Yeah.
And you know, evolution, when we look at evolution, you know, we think about why we have anxiety. And again, it goes back to that protective piece. When we were cavemen, we needed to be really aware of sounds at night, because mm-hmm. nighttime's another manifestation for a lot of kiddos. We see bedtime avoidance, or nighttime fears happen.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so we look at, how all of that, you know, the original source of it, why we needed it as human beings. And then we look at our world today and we don't need it the same way, but we haven't fully evolved out of it. And some mm-hmm. people, especially, they're more sensitive to it.
Yeah. That's a good opportunity for us to talk about like what causes anxiety, like what is the reason that it happens? And I think it's different for every person, right? But absolutely. Like, what are some of the causes that can make kids or teens or adults really feel anxious?
So when we think about those causes, you know, in environmental factors, situational factors, brain chemistry, things like that, are part of them.
Yeah. And I think also sometimes genetics, like we can have mm-hmm. a family history of more anxious kind of responses to things, to have more anxiety. So families might notice that they themselves as the caregiver are somebody who's more anxious, uh-huh. but also maybe they have a family member that is that way. I think also sometimes it can be our personality. Some people are just wired a little bit more anxiously than other people. They seem to be more aware of perceived danger, right? Uh-huh. Or fear of things happening. And also sometimes it's what we're doing. Like, so it can also be the choices that our kiddos or we are making, right, that are causing us to feel more anxious. So yeah, that's a good list. Okay. And we talked about what it looks like. What do you think on the outside? So sometimes we can have different inside, outside. You talked a little bit earlier about what we can perceive on the outside and what we see maybe is happening on the inside, more of the somatic stuff. But on the outside, you said tantrums. What else could we be looking for?
So crying. Right. So kiddos crying. And we talked about the tantrums, difficulty focusing.
Mm, yeah. That's a great one.
Yeah. Wiggly, wiggly kiddos, you know, whether they're tapping or have a hard time sitting still in certain situations. That's one of our clues as parents when we notice, you know, we notice that shift, we notice a difference, that there might be something going on where they feel anxious in that moment. And that's one of the things that I talk to kids a lot about is that somatic response. You know, what do I see in my body? What are clues that lead me to believe or lead me to going, oh, I'm not feeling quite right. What's going on with me? And parents can really help kids in those situations because they're going to be better observers than kids are.
Yeah. Tell me about that. So that part about how do you, as a parent, if you notice that your kid is seeming anxious, right? Or they're having some of these behavioral things, how can you notice that? Like, what's a good way for parents to notice that to their kids?
Yeah, we're going to talk to them, right? Talking, communication is frequently, I say something, it's never something we've won. It's never some like a checkbox that we've achieved. And so we communicate. And so we talk to our kids about what might be going on. We can name that feeling for them. We can help them by naming that feeling. We are using anxiety right now, but it has become interchangeable with worry or stress or nervousness or overwhelmed. So a lot of those different terms might apply to your child, and kids are going to define them differently. I know in my practice, I frequently will ask kids the difference between worry and anxiety and in them. And I always get vastly different answers. And some of them are very creative.
Yeah.
For what they see as the difference. And so helping your kiddo by naming it. You know, I noticed that your foot is tapping really fast right now. I wonder if you're worried. Something as simple as that, reflecting that potential emotion that they're feeling.
Yeah. The I wonder statement is fantastic and allows them to like redefine if we've not done it the way that they'd like, right? If they think we got it wrong, they're going to let us know. Love that, kids.
A wonderful thing. They are honest. And so, yes, if it is anger or it is something else, they're going to change it. And it goes back to that the I statements with the feeling words. We're encouraging those in kids by helping reflect their emotions so they can say, yes, I do feel worried, or no, I'm not worried. I'm mad. So it enables them to use that language as well.
Yeah. Okay. Well, let's break down what I messages are because we haven't reviewed that yet. So this is a great opportunity. So let's tell people what are I messages.
Okay. So I messages with a feeling word. It helps us own what that feeling is. I will catch myself doing this sometimes, even though I teach this, right? I sometimes want to say this situation caused stress or anger or whatever it might be when the situation doesn't own that feeling. I own that feeling. And we have research that says the I statement and the feeling word actually slows down that area of the brain. And so by using that, we're automatically helping ourselves learn to cope with the situation a little bit differently. But the other part of it is when I know what my child is feeling or I know what I'm feeling, it's much easier for me to go into a coping skill.
Yeah. When they're just having a behavior, like when they're screaming, right? Or tantruming and they're not using a feelings word. I know as a parent that is so hard for me, right? Because then I'm just like, I just want that part to stop. But if they're like, I'm mad at you. I'm like, yes. Okay.
I can work with let's do this.
Exactly. So the I message is simply, I'm mad or I'm feeling mad. I'm feeling sad. I'm feeling scared. And can we say, I'm mad at you?
Yes.
Is that part of the I message? Yeah.
We can, absolutely. And we can expand that further by I'm mad at you because.
Yeah.
So then or when you do these things so that we create that communication, right? We start the dialogue where we can look for solutions to help. And they are part of the process. We're not saying calm down. We're not instructing them. They are working with us and we are working with them in order to find solutions.
Yeah. I love collaborative work, right? Yes. It's like my favorite way because I think it works. It actually solves the problem because as a parent and also as a therapist, I find it's hard for me as a parent, but then other parents, when I'm the therapist, that they keep doing the same problem over and over and over and over and over again. But if we actually stop and we identify the problem, then we could actually solve it. So we're not doing this over and over and over again, which ultimately I think is all of our objective, is to stop that cycle as much as we can, right? Some things we can't control, but there's a lot about figuring out how to actually solve the problem that actually solves the problem. Crazy. Yeah.
And with the collaborative piece, I think it helps teach parents too. It helps teach them how to deal better with situations. It's this process that just continues building on itself. So if I, it's a good feedback loop. Yeah. That's probably a good way to put it. I handle my child really well in a situation where we talk about something and we come up with a solution together, both of us are going to feel better, which encourages us to do it again, which is part of the reason anxiety in and of itself is kind of a scary thing, because of that feedback loop. And so when we create a healthier feedback loop that parents are saying, I can help you handle this, I can help you carry this, I'm here to process this with you and talk about it, then we're disrupting the negative potential with the anxiety feedback loop.
Yeah, absolutely. Love that idea. Thank you so much, Katie. We can't wait to have you back next week when we talk more about anxiety, how to manage it, and more tips and tools. I want to end with some takeaways from our episode today. And I think one of the things to focus on is that recognizing emotions is critical. We have to give a name to what's going on in order for us to be able to solve the problem. The next one is, if something doesn't work when you're managing or helping your kid to manage anxiety, don't be discouraged. It's okay if it takes a couple different tries. It's okay if you have to try a tool several different times in order to see that it helps. And it's okay if a tool doesn't work and you try something completely different. Don't give up. The next one is compassion and connection. It's so critical for us to have kindness when we are approaching our kids with anxiety and wanting to connect, to understand what they're going through and how this is impacting them, even if we maybe don't understand it completely, that we just want to understand. And finally, I think noticing that we are on a team with our kids. Like, we are on this journey together until at least 18, but the reality is for their lifetime. And so by being on a team and having this team mentality that, like, you succeed and I succeed and we all succeed together, that is such a influential and motivational part of being an ally with our kids. Please join us again next week when we continue this conversation on anxiety, and take a minute to rate and subscribe to our show. If you feel like what we're providing to you is helpful and beneficial, please let us know. Also, feel free to reach out to us at accidentalexperts@gmail.com if you have any comments or suggestions. And you can join us on Facebook and Instagram for more tips and updates. We would love to see you back next week. Have a fantastic day. Some words from our legal team.
The information presented in this podcast is not intended or implied to be a substitute for appropriate professional advice, diagnosis, or treatment. All content, including text, graphics, images, and information contained on or available through this podcast, is for general information purposes only. This podcast makes no representations and assumes no responsibility for the accuracy or information on or available through this podcast, and such information is subject to change without notice. You are encouraged to confirm any information obtained through this program with other sources and review all information regarding any condition or treatment with the appropriate professionals.
What we're saying is, yes, I am a real therapist, but I'm not your therapist.